we sang that song and thought about it, Psalm 25 came to mind. It says, good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners, you and I, in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the plans of the Lord are steadfast, love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. That is the word of the Lord this morning. And it is good to be in the house of the Lord, to worship together. And we, at January 1st of 2017, we met in this room to worship and to come together. And here on the last day of 2017, we do the same. So it seems fitting to be here again this morning. Would you stand with us as we worship together? I ran across a quote in a book I was reading this week, a quote from an author named Annie Dillard. And the quote is, a life without sacrifice is an abomination. And I read that, I was like, whoa, those are kind of strong words. But then I was really thinking about that and thinking, like, in our society, we are so drawn toward comfort, making things easy. One of the most popular gifts this year for Christmas was little home speakers that you can talk to, and then you can buy different like light bulbs that plug into these specific things that talk to the speaker, and you can tell your lights to turn off wherever you are in the house. Like, talk to it. Hey, Echo, turn off my living room lights or whatever. It's, you know, I can understand some benefit from that, but that's a comfort thing, right? Everybody's too lazy to walk over there and flip the switch. Is what we're saying. And so I think we're like drawn to comfort. And I think in some ways it begins to shape how we relate with God. That when life isn't comfortable, that then we get frustrated with God. And oftentimes I think God leads us down difficult things because he loves us. Scripture tells us that in many ways. And so choosing to follow Jesus is not choosing to follow and find a comfortable life. If you want something comfortable, don't choose Jesus, because he will take you to uncomfortable places. And so this last song that we want to sing together kind of gets at that. Choosing to follow Jesus takes us down many paths. Some of them are full of blessing and goodness, and we thank the Lord for that. And some of them are hard and arduous and full of pain and struggle, and we rely on him in those moments as well. But the choice is to choose to follow him in the good and in the bad, knowing that he has good for us in all of it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these moments when we can be honest with you and say that, yes, Lord, there are things in life that are difficult for all of us. And yes, Lord, we sense your goodness in many ways. This morning, being here together with our church family, being one of them, is a blessing from you and the way that you provide for us. And we thank you that you are a God who doesn't just want us to bring our smiley, happy faces to you. You want us to be honest with you and real with you and to allow you into those places that we so often ignore. And so would you meet us right where we're at, whether we come in here on the high of the holidays or whether we walk in here feeling the immensity of difficult circumstances, health, family, relationships, finances, all the ways in which life can get very difficult. Would you breathe your life into those most difficult things? And would we in turn worship you for the ways that you bless us? We thank you for these moments as to close out this calendar year as we anticipate another year. Help us to be people who worship you, a church that worships you in all circumstances. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
I'm happy also to welcome you to this morning's gathering, the last day of 2017. I was hopeful that there would be a number of people able to be here, not traveling or out of town or whatever, and we have a good amount of people. We also have the first through fifth graders joining us, and we have the sixth, seventh, and eighth graders that are going to stick with us because our mid-high director is sick this morning. So they were so happy to be in with us. So that's so good. We're great. Welcome. We also have a connection card to help us connect. as a church. Maybe you have a prayer request or something on your mind. Maybe you have a question for us as a staff. We would love to know about that. Maybe you're new with us, and we'd love to be able to say hello to you through various means, whether emailing or the postal service and all that, maybe a phone call, but we'd love to know if you're here. We're going to collect those connection cards just a little bit later. They're in the pouches in front of you. If you take the time to fill one out, we'll collect those then. Well, I've asked a lot of people about 2017, and a number of people have said that 2017 had some really great moments, and they would suggest that there was some evidence of blessing, but there were others that said that 2017 was challenging in many ways. But the question I've been asking most people is this: what did you learn in 2017? And that's really what counts. See, something that you learn may stick with you, and it may influence you into 2018. That's the idea. And I think God's about learning. So I asked some of my friends what they learned in 2017. So I've got a few folks, I'm going to be the roving microphone. Pretend we're out on the street, downtown Salem, and I'm asking them, what did you learn in 2017? And my friend Mark here, he's going to start. And so, Mark, share with what you learned in 2017.
Thank you, Barry. Good morning. Well, 2017 for me was a year where my life crossed with a lot of people who were going through a lot of pain and sorrow and just a whole lot of brokenness. And I spent many, many hours, it seemed like, on the phone and visiting with people in stores and everywhere else, talking about their hurt and the depth of the pain they were feeling. And I found myself wanting to somehow comfort them and encourage them and all that. What I came away with through this year from that is the fact that I realized that I needed to have a deeper appreciation for the fact that everybody is going through pain. Everybody's going through suffering of some sort and some sort of difficulty, and that difficulty can overwhelm them and cripple them in their lives. And so as I pondered this, you know, I realized that everyone, again, has these areas of brokenness and fear in their lives, and that no one, including myself, lives a life that's separate from that lives above that kind of a problem. And through that, in 2017, God taught me, or gave me a greater desire, I should say, to somehow intentionally engage people and to listen to them and to try to encourage them as they go through these storms of life. I want to take to heart God's admonition to us that we build up the body of Christ. So that's what I took away.
Amen. And the compassion quotient in Mark's life went up in 2017. Amen. Marilyn, my friend Marilyn, what did you learn in 2017?
Well, I think I could describe it best in the sermon that we heard about Joseph, and that if we're obedient, when we hear God speak as Joseph did in the first vision, and he immediately responded, then God gave him another vision, and he immediately responded. And so God kept giving him those visions. And so that's what I learned in 2017 is when I'm obedient to God, as soon as God gives me his will, then he will give me another opportunity to be obedient. And when I'm obedient, then he just keeps giving me these adventures and these opportunities. And not only is it blessed my life, but it blesses those around me. So that would be my word, is that when you hear God, respond immediately.
That's good, Marilyn. Neat word. Marilyn, that was a good sermon, I have to agree. Okay, this is my friend Elvin. And Elvin, I asked him, what did you learn in 2017, Elvin?
You know, 26,716 days, guy should have learned it all, right? Wrong. I keep learning, and, you know, I think that probably I learn more when I make a mistake than when I am successful. Like in life, why would you, for the second time in your life, buy a car on eBay and believe the description and the pictures are really true? It's only 40 years old and it's from New York, but you know, it's got to be, nobody would lie to you, would they? Sure, the headlights work. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, it doesn't leak any water. Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, that's one of life's lessons. Spiritually speaking, you know, I must honestly say my life has not always been as smooth as it might appear from a distance. But as Pastor Barry and Tyler spoke from Romans and taught how that where sin is present, there's much more grace than there is sin. And through God, we can have the victory. I claim that as my promise and my learning in 2017. I remember reading from Rick Warren, who said, you know, we may be the product of our past, but we're not the prisoner of our past. And so with that, I claim victory in 2017, and I look forward to 2018, where we can proceed and go forward in Christ's victory with him.
Is that good? Thank you, Elvin. That's wonderful. I know you want to clap every time, but I've got a few more up my sleeve, like my friend Carol and what she learned in 2017.
Well, I ended a career in teaching after teaching for 34 years and being surrounded by children every single day. All of a sudden, I walked into a new chapter of my life. And what I learned, what I've learned about the Lord the last 15 years, is how extremely faithful and steadfast he is. So I was vulnerable in a sense that I just said, Lord, what is it that you want? I mean, I've been a busy girl for years now, and all of a sudden it's different. And he gave me two words. And one word was, love me and love others. And serve me and serve others. And so he opened up, like Marilyn said, he opened up all these opportunities as I stepped into them. And I can say that I have gone deeper with the Lord in a humble way because there's so much more to learn. And he taught me to really trust him and not opinions, because I had a lot of people telling me what I should do, what I could do. Oh, now that you're retired, think about this. And I kept going back to the Lord. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to, how do you want me to serve? And he also told me to capture my thoughts, because we get so many racing thoughts through our brain. And he told me, capture those, Carol, and bring them to me, because some of those are not true. Some of those are lies. And they're going to bring you down. They're going to stop you from what I want you to do. And, my verse for the last several many years after my daughter passed away was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, even when you retire.
Thank you, Carol. So great. See, God is at work teaching us. Just ask Ben, what did you learn in 2017?
All right, well, there's two words that came to mind when Barry asked me this, and it's perspective and influence. This year was a year of change for me. I got a new job at work, and it really made me reflect upon something that actually my wife's father told me 8 years ago when I asked him if I could marry Hannah. And he said, no matter what, whether you like it or not, you will have great influence on whoever you choose to marry and vice versa. And do you want her to be the biggest influencer in your life? And can you take the responsibility to have the biggest influence on her life? And that stuck with me a lot. And then this year in 2017, it became a reality when I got a new job and I have people that I work closely with and I have great influence on, and I can choose more so what that looks like. And for perspective, it's very ironic right now. I had just 6 weeks ago had another son born, and my other son turned 2 years old. And it's learning what life's all about and taking care of them. And speaking of that, his number's up on the board, so I gotta go.
Oh, What an exit, right? I asked my colleague Steve to share what he learned in 2017.
Thank you, Barry. You know, if you take any simple, even reasonable glance at the scripture, you would probably walk away with the idea that the scripture is calling us to change, to be transformed. And we've gotten a lot of that. I know I should change, and we even want to change, and I noticed that I'm not changing as fast as I'd like. And so this year I took great purpose in reading. I listened to books, secular books, talking about the brain and how it works and why we change, why we don't change, what we're more prone to do, biblical books. And I think a significant research, not exhaustive, but significant research on what would help us change. Interesting thing is that the secular books come up with a conclusion down here, the same thing that the Bible says. I always love that when that happens. So I started writing all this down and even collecting this material to share with others, and I have classes to do that with. But I noticed as I started implementing these biblical principles, really, my life started changing. Not as fast maybe as everyone would like or as I would like, but I noticed that God has called me to change, and it can happen. So learning little steps, almost little tricks, perspective, has actually helped a change start happening. Now, one of the biggest things they talked about was humility. Humility has a lot to do with changing. And so, we just don't wake up in the morning and put on a humility like a coat. It's really something I have to depend on the Lord to build into me, humility that fosters change. So learning how to change, learning why I probably won't change are the things I learned this year and will continue to learn.
So good. And I have one more friend that I'd like to have share about changes in 2017. Her name is Rose.
Good morning, y'all. Who loves adventure? Or do some people just like hover when there's change? Sorry, okay, I'll come over here. I love adventure. And life is an adventure with a 2- and a 4-year-old. And I love change. And so sometimes it's hard for me to be in the day in and day out of the same things with my kids. So I've had a couple fun adventures this year come my way, and it's been fun to jump on those. But I am definitely somebody who tends to like jump in with 2 feet and not read the small print and just go for it. I'm a go-getter. So sometimes I'm looking at my calendar and I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta get up at 5 every morning to get all these things done. Like, how am I gonna breathe? You know? And I think I tend to get in trouble because I wanna do it all, I wanna be it all, I want to be all things to all people, and you crash when that happens. And so many times this year, I've just heard the quiet, still words, give yourself some grace. It's okay to do these things in this season, and maybe this is the season for it, but then maybe this isn't the season for it, and maybe you need to set these things aside. And if you can't keep up with all of them all the time, that's okay. You are not God. And so it's like, hello, this is an easy reality, but sometimes you have to learn by being in that I extend grace to other people, sure, but for myself, I'm hard on myself. So my challenge to you and my encouragement to you is be gracious to yourself. You cannot be all things for all people, and you're not supposed to be. So just remember, God is a God of grace. His grace is sufficient for you, and his power is made perfect in weakness. So.
Amen. Didn't they do great? Wasn't that neat? Thank you. Thank you so much, friends. I asked them if they would share briefly what they learned in 2017, and I just knew that as they would build on, you know, person after person, how God had shaped their thinking, developed something within, some new insights, some challenges, I thought that you would get a sense about the possibilities in 2018. What could God do in one calendar year in your life? Well, I'm going to suggest that it's going to take some learning. And learning isn't something that you often associate with Jesus. You think, well, Jesus, he knew it all. He didn't have to learn anything. But there you would be wrong, because the author of Hebrews tells us something really pretty profound about Jesus. And we want to be like Jesus, right? And if 2018 is going to be especially a good year, you're going to be more like Jesus than you are right now. You'll increase in his influence in your life and become even more Christ-like step by step. And it's going to be because of learning. Have your Bibles with you? We're going to go to Hebrews. It's in the bulletin too. So I was easy on you. And it's right there. You can look at it the whole time. It's going to be on the screen as well. Hebrews 5 is what I chose for this last day of 2017. And I'm going to look at it with the two paragraphs. And these two paragraphs emphasize, first of all, Jesus and his example. And then second, it gives us the challenge for our own lives. I think you'll get it. I think it's a great way to transition from this year to the next year. Let's look at verse 7, Hebrews 5, verse 7. In the NIV, it says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek." Well, that's the paragraph. I'm going to leave it up there for a while. I want you to just kind of see it there, those words. I really want these words to make an impression upon you, but I especially want the words in verses 11 to 14 to really sink in this morning, as they're a challenge to us, and they kind of, I think, open the door for some great possibilities in the new year. First of all, in this paragraph, we basically learn that Jesus is our example. You can write that in if you like doing the notes and filling in the blanks. You won't notice it on the screen today. My assistant was on vacation all week. She gets to do that now and then, and I'm pretty lost when she's gone. But anyway, we at least have this up here. And Jesus is our example, and so he models the possibilities. That's what I hear in this paragraph. This is kind of succinctly put. The emphasis of the paragraph is to show us the way. God sent his own son to show us the way, to be like us, and to give us the sense of the possibilities of, you know, what he would have for us. Now, it's not the only reason God sent his son, right? He sent Jesus, as we learned about in the Advent season, as Yeshua means to save us from our sins, or the Lord saves. He sent Jesus to save us from our sins, right? Very crucial. But sometimes we get kind of just focused on that. Okay, forgives my sins, saves me. But there's more that God intended Jesus to be in our life, and that is to be an example, to show us how to live, to the way to go about it. So I've got this cool little pointer. Somebody said, "Going back to old school, are you?" Okay, I am old school. All right, here we are. Right there, that during the days of Jesus' life on earth, literally that means in his flesh. That means he walked the earth. And that's right away in the very first paragraph here. I mean, the very first sentence of this paragraph, we have the emphasis about his example. He walked this earth. What does that mean? And what's the paragraph pointing to? Well, right in the middle, you have the key phrase. That's kind of unique. You wouldn't expect it. It's right here. Learned obedience. He learned obedience. That's not what we think. We think Jesus, it was natural for him to obey. Everything just went easy and smooth for him. But that's where we're wrong. Because the phrase goes, he learned obedience through suffering. Now, that doesn't sound easy, right? That's challenging. And so here we have the idea that Jesus faced many things. He faced temptation. He faced disappointment. He faced hardship. And yet, as he faced these things, what's the next thing he did? He obeyed. He moved forward. That's what we learn. One step at a time, Jesus took on these things and becomes the model for us. All right? Now, Hebrews, if you have your Bibles today, in Hebrews 4, we already read something about his example. And it's so cool. It's in 4:15. I don't have it on the screen, but I'm going to read it here for you. It's right just a few verses earlier, and it's pretty well known. It goes like this. For we do not have a high priest, and Jesus being a high priest, man, he went into the Holy of Holies for us, sacrificed for our sins, but he also was a priest among us, to be like us, to connect with us. Watch this. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. That's such a powerful verse, and it says it so clearly that he came right into this world. He was bombarded with the same things that we're bombarded with. He, as a human being, had these struggles and challenges, hardships, and so on. He can empathize with our weakness, our humanity. And he shows us the way because as he faced these things, he did not sin. And so it shows us the possibilities. We can identify with him. He has already given us the pathway of obedience. He has shown us the way. All right? That's the paragraph. Now it gives a specific event that Jesus went through. And you can see it in verse 7 there. In verse 7, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. He was facing death, right? He was facing the darkness of the cross. He knew it. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Specific event, you can identify, you can, you're familiar with it at least. The sense of the Garden of Gethsemane where he was in travail and he was praying for at least an hour because it says the disciples fell asleep. Won't you pray with me for 1 hour? But we know that the intensity of it was probably even longer. And he was in deep anguish and he wanted the Father to deliver him from death. And the reason was because he was going to carry the sins of the world, which is incredible darkness. Can you imagine? And so he is facing this kind of travail, this kind of circumstance, and he has a choice. That's so interesting. Jesus has a choice. And he faced many choices through his journey on earth. He was tempted by the devil. What would he do there? He was confronted by the Pharisees time and again. He had one of his disciples betray him. He had these kind of challenges, and now he's going to carry the sins of the world. And what would he do with that? Well, that's the point. What does he do with that? Watch this. He responds in reverent submission. That is a key statement in there. And Jesus' example of reverent submission is seen in the Garden of Gethsemane very well. Because you remember his prayer? He's praying, Lord, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. But remember this part? But not my will, but your will be done. You know what you call that? Reverent submission. That's what you call that. When you pray this prayer in any situation, any circumstance you're facing, and you pray this prayer with sincerity before God, and you pray, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Boom! Reverent submission. Just like Jesus. And that was the key. That was the key that helped him to press forward each and every time. So much so that it says that he was made perfect, once made perfect. That is such an interesting phrase, perfect. The word is often translated complete or finished. Watch what happens. Jesus faces this temptation, this difficulty, this challenge, carry the sins of the world. And guess what he does? He obeys. And he presses forward all the way to the point that he's perfected. He is complete. He is finished. And guess what happens right now? He is then at a place to be the sinless sacrifice that you and I make. But it wasn't automatic. It didn't happen right away. He progressed through as our example. He learned obedience so that we could follow in his footsteps and complete his mission as being the sinless sacrifice that would pay for your sins and mine, when it says the source of eternal salvation. But watch this. This is such an interesting part. For all who obey him. Now, people that read this closely go, so it says that eternal salvation is given to those who obey him. Is that right? Well, I read in the Bible that eternal salvation is given to all those who believe. Isn't that what we read in Romans? That by sincere faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior, the one who will save me from my sins, he comes into my life and I have the gift of eternal life by faith and faith alone. Ask Luther, right? We talked about him anyway. So what about this obey part? What is happening here in the author in Hebrews is he is trying to tell us that the believer's life is one of obedience. You've trusted in Jesus. He's come into your life. You're saved. And it is like the only way to go from here is because he's so good to us, so gracious to us, that I'm going to be one of his followers. And that means I will obey. Unthinkable to look at it any differently. But the people that the Hebrew writer was addressing were looking at it differently. They didn't see their life now as a journey of obedience like Jesus. And that's where we go now. We have seen clearly that the call on your life and my life, as a believer, I'm imagining about 98% of you are, that it's a life of obedience, just like Jesus. Learned obedience, okay? Now, what if that isn't happening? Well, let's read Hebrews. Because it wasn't happening. Watch. Next paragraph. We're ready. We did pretty good. That didn't stay up there so long. I was wondering, would you get bored with the word? No, it's right up there. Here we go. Verse 11. We have much to say about this. What about what? Obedience. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Now, if you have your translations there, I bet you have different words used, like dull of hearing. That's one of the translations. Or slow to learn. In the NIV here, it says, no longer try to understand. Your ears are shut up. That's the idea. Okay? In fact, verse 12, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. As another translation puts it, right from wrong. Now, this paragraph is for us. So if you're filling in the blanks, our example. And our example can be what? Negative or positive. It's right in the paragraph. Negative or positive. It can be either way. And that's what he's concerned about. So Jesus' example is presented, but not everyone was moving in step with Jesus' example. In fact, as Jesus obeyed, you would expect his followers to obey, but it wasn't happening. It seems like the Hebrew Christians here were stuck. They were stuck. There was no movement, stagnant. Now, I read about this, and I really agree with this. Is it possible to stand still in your faith? And we're all going, that's possible. And I'm thinking, well, not really. In this paragraph, no one's standing still. you're either going one way or the other. In fact, the way that the author puts it here is that you're either moving forward or you're slipping back. In fact, the slipping back part is pretty strong, isn't it? It's saying you're slipping back to where you began. You know what the word he uses? Infant. And so here you have this idea of slipping back. So let's go with the negative first. I want to get it over with. It's there. It's very strong. It's challenging. I hope you're not there, but here we go. Negative. Negative example. Verse 11. Best translation. Slow to learn. Slow to learn. Dull of hearing. Your ears are shut up. Your spiritual ears are shut up. The word could be dull or sluggish. Okay? So, we have the connection here is the word in verse 13 where it says, still an infant. Still an infant. And what do infants need? They need milk. That's the challenge. It's right there. It's the negative example. Infants need milk. Now, I have a granddaughter, and she's 5 months old and lives in Oceanside. And she's ready to have some real food. But mom and dad say, oh, no, you know, real food's kind of a hassle and everything like that. We're just going to have Joy Lynn nurse until she's 8 years old. It's cheaper. I mean, they're wise parents, you know? No, no, no. They're not. They're excited about this next step. This next step means that Joy Lynn is going to have some real food. They're going to mush it up just right, and they're going to let me see when she first eats because it's going to be really fun. Mmm, she's going to love it. And they're excited about it, and I'm excited about my granddaughter eating real food because she's growing. That's the idea. Growing. Now, there's another point that goes along with this that kind of brings this to light. It's this word right here. Elementary truths of God's word all over again. You know, the translation there is something like the rudimentary or the ABCs of the faith. The basics. And that's kind of the emphasis in the beginning here. The basics of the faith. So what are the ABCs? Well, in chapter 6, it gives you a little like a glimpse of the ABCs. You know what they are. Like forgiveness, repentance, faith in God, going to heaven, baptism. Those are the basics right there. It's right in there. I'd add a couple others. God loves me. All I have to do is believe. And I can tell God what I want him to do. Prayer requests. There you go. So, the basics, the ABCs. Now you're saying, you sounded like a little negative about those ABCs. I shouldn't, because they're really good. They're not bad at all. They're the foundation. But they're just the beginning. Does God want you to stay in the basics? No, he doesn't. He has more to show you, more to for you to experience, more for to utilize what he's put in you, the gracious gifts that he's put in you to influence and make an impact and to deeply give you a sense of revelation about himself in even greater ways. God wants more for you. All right? Now, the Apostle Paul was concerned about this too. And the Corinthians, they had the same dilemma about infancy of faith. And so I don't have this reference for you. And I'm going to keep that one up there still. But if you want to write this down, you can look it up later. It's basically what I've been saying. It's just another reference. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 3. Goes like this. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Oh, I skipped a whole verse. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Verse 1. Verse 2, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? That's what he's writing, the Apostle Paul. So we have the writer of Hebrews and the Apostle Paul putting these things together, concerned about people, Christian people, preoccupied with themselves. What do I get out of my faith? What is it? What is in the faith that's going to make me feel good? It's that kind of thing. I'm forgiven. Oh, I like that part. And I'm going to heaven. Oh, boy, that's a good one. And God loves me. Yay! And you're saying, again, you're talking a little derogatory. Well, just because of the message that I'm trying to give. Those are good things. But guess what? If you just stay there, your faith will remain shallow. That's what he's teaching. Shallow faith. Concerned about it. It's like this. Or it could be like this. Your son and daughter, or daughter, is in first grade. And they're saying they really like first grade. They feel comfortable in first grade. Mom and Dad, I want to stay in first grade. But what are you thinking? No way. We don't want you to stay in first grade. In fact, the teacher gives you a phone call and says that your child is now kind of misbehaving. They're picking fights and teasing and quarreling have been the result and everything like that. The teacher says, I think your child's bored. Now, does that apply to what the Apostle Paul said? There's jealousy and quarreling among you. Does that apply with what Hebrews said? You should be teaching, but you're needing to be taught all over again. Does this fit? Immaturity is prone for the comfortable and the stuff that satisfies as most important. I think so. In fact, Tyler alluded to it in the worship time about sacrifice. And here we have it. This is very challenging. Do I want any of you to stay in first grade spiritually? I'm in this. I'm called to this. And everything in me says I want to help my dear friends, my family at New Harvest not to stay in the first grade. And I'll do whatever I can to sacrifice to see that we move along person by person as a church family, fulfilling the purpose of God and the greater things he has in mind in 2018. That's what I want. I'll give myself to it. I want you to come along. So, 2017. Did you experience spiritual growth in 2017? I'll ask people that and they'll go, yeah. Well, what are some of the things you learned? Well, I learned a few things. How about 2018? 2018. What do you think about 2018? What do you think about spiritually in 2018? And well, I don't know. Well, probably just more of the same. Oh, great. It reminds me of that motto, doing the same things and expecting different results. Insanity. I put that in your notes. You know that motto. And so, 2018, can we all agree that 2018 we want to move forward? Let's all agree about that. Let's move beyond the ABCs and really see what God can do. And here's what I'm going to suggest. This is the end part. This is the wrap up. It's not short, but here we go. Positive. Positive. There's a word in this text before we take it down. It's the word mature. Solid food for the mature. And then in chapter 6, it says, let us, like an admonition, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and move forward to maturity. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Move forward to maturity. Put that down. That's it. Move forward to maturity. Fill that in. And how are we going to do that? Well, there's three aspects that come out of this paragraph and they bound out. In your notes, I only have two. I found another. Here we go. Be a teacher. Write that in. Be a teacher. solid food to train themselves or train yourself. Solid, be a teacher, solid food to train yourself. And the last one, number three, righteousness. Righteousness is right there in the text, the teaching about righteousness. You are ignorant about the teaching of righteousness. And here we go. Number one, reverse order. And you can write this down. We can take that down now. Good. Righteousness. Take this in. I don't want you to look up there anymore. I want you to kind of take this in. Three aspects that 2018 could be for you and for me. Righteousness. Now, when I say righteousness, we go back to Romans and we think about righteousness in Romans, and we think about the first few chapters of righteousness in Romans, and we say in the Bible, in Romans, it said that we are righteous by faith. That is given as a gift. True. In fact, it's called justification by faith. We're made justified in God's sight, right in his sight, because by faith and faith alone. Amazing doctrine of the Reformation. Okay? But then in chapter 6 of Romans, we begin to learn about a righteousness that moves us a little bit long. Same sense, but now we're on a progressive line about righteousness. It's a righteousness lived out. This particular righteousness has, like in Romans 6, where it says, count yourself dead to sin. That's called a lived out righteousness. Okay? And we're going to learn, as we get back into Romans, into the new year, we're going to learn about this righteousness come alive. And you know what righteousness lived out is called theologically? It's called sanctification. And sanctification is essentially the idea that you and I become more like Jesus. We follow in his footsteps. And what did we learn about Jesus already? That he lived a life of obedience. And we go to the deeper things of God. And we deepen, like Steve said, in humility. That is a deeper work of God. And we have a radical love for people. That's a deeper work of God. And then we move into a servant's heart. And then a discerning wisdom. And a joy in obeying. And a leading of the Holy Spirit. And a Christ-like aliveness in our life. That's what righteousness is like. Yes, even before heaven, right now. And that's what the author's talking about. He wants so much for people to experience a righteousness that's not about have to, but it's a want to. I am looking forward to the next way that I can obey and please my God because he has done everything for me. Righteousness. Number one. Number two, training. It said there right in verse 14, trained, and it connected to solid food. And you know what solid food is. It's clear, even in this text, that it's God's word. The solid, trained and to experience and absorb God's word so that I might live it more fully. It might kind of affect my thinking and nourish my life and fill me. The Spirit loves when I nourish myself on God's word, because it then stimulates his influence in my life, the word of God, being trained. And so when I consume healthy food, I become stronger. So when I consume God's word, I become stronger. It's like the training table of your life is his word and taking in his word. It's just the way that brings life to us. So I want you to read it, of course. I got a reading schedule. Gospel of John, what a great place. Gospel of John is deeper than you think. And then to study it, that study and reflect on it. Where is this mentioned in other places in God's word that I could glean from? You study it, you contemplate, you reflect, you consider. And then you move into that meditation, which kind of like lets it just take hold, absorb. So, if someone's saying in 2018, I'm going to grow spiritually and the Word of God is going to be on the shelf, I'm going to say, impossible. Impossible. Because you're not going to grow if you don't eat. Number three, teaching. Here's the most interesting thing in this text. And it's just it just implication in verse 12. You ought to be teachers by now, but you need someone else to teach you. You ought to be teachers. That I just couldn't get that phrase out of my mind. You ought to be teachers. You ought to be passing this on. This is. In fact, I'll call this the jumpstart of 2018. Teaching. And I mean by that is sharing it, sharing the truth that God is giving you, sharing it with someone. Are you a parent? Built in. There you go. You get to share it. It's the call. If you're a parent and you're not having some intentional way of trying to speak into your children's life about this precious word, this eternal word, this timeless truth, you're missing it. Parent, grandparent. What a privilege to be a grandparent. You can speak into their lives and then you can send them home. So it's amazing. I love that part. Grandparenting. Do you have someone you love in your life? Someone, a coworker or something? Bring some intentionality to the relationship and start sharing about God's truth. So, well, I'm not sure they're interested. We'll find out. One-on-one. This can be one-on-one. This could be the children in your church. It could be this kind of thing where you're inputting, you're investing, you're teaching. This is the sweetest part of my life. And the most challenging. Because I teach a lot. And it challenges me. Do I really understand this? This is really part of my life. It's amazing. You know, I met Christ at 20 years old. And 2 months after meeting Christ in a personal way, I began teaching a Bible study. They'd say, what? Well, I didn't know what I was doing, but it didn't matter. It was like going in and kind of going, let's learn together. And I'd go home and they'd have a lot of questions. Some of my fraternity brothers had a lot of questions. And I'd go and I'd figure it out. And I'd go, what do I need to tell them? And I'd go back. Boy, that was great. I learned so fast because 2 months into my faith, I was teaching others. Mostly good stuff. And I don't know any other life. I know no other life. 40 years as a believer. I don't know any other way to do it. I teach. I go, I need to know more. And I go back to God's word. And then I want the credibility of my life to be consistent with the authenticity of God's word. And I obey it. I think that the problem with many believers is that we don't share it with anyone. We're not giving it away. We're not investing in anyone else. There's no one that we're sure in our life that we're taking what God is giving us, the jewels that God is giving us, and passing them on. We must do that. If you're stagnant in your spiritual life, I think possibly the reason is that you're not giving it away. You're not sharing it. You're not passing it on. You're not investing in others. You're kind of like figuring out, well, what does this Bible verse say to me and how does it bless me and how do I do life? And you're just soaking it in. But you must give it away. It's supposed to be that way. The whole thing is this flow as one generation speaks to another generation. That's the plan of God. And if you're stagnant, you might not be doing that. That's my journey. I don't know another journey. You can start with obedience and then go to training and then teaching. You can do it that way. But my life has been teach a little bit more than you know. Figure it out more so. Get more depth in training so that you're better equipped. And live a life of obedience so that it's a reflection of the authenticity of what God can do in a person's life. That's what I'll do. I'll do it in 2018, and I'll be better for it, and God will continue to work in me. I have the challenge and the privilege of being your example of following Jesus Christ. And if you want 2018 to be what 2018 could possibly be in the kingdom of God, all I can tell you is teach some people, deepen your understanding of God's word, and live it with the help of the Holy Spirit, and your year will be better than it was in 2017. Will the worship team come? That's called Tyler and Rose. We're ready for that. Yes. Really. We're supposed to be done right now, but we're not. This notes was supposed to be 30 minutes, not 40 minutes. I don't really have much passion about this particular topic today. But anyway, next week I'm really going to be on fire. Oh, Tyler's speaking. Oh, well. Good. He can be on fire. I'm going to take it in next week, all right? So here we go. This is really important stuff. And I really believe that this piece of sharing it, you can read it anywhere. Time magazine said, you want a resolution that really counts? Time magazine, not God's word, Time magazine. You want a resolution that really counts, that will really make a difference? Spend time getting to know people you wouldn't choose. Time magazine sounds like the gospel to me. Spend time getting to know people you wouldn't choose. Wow. We're still going to take time for communion. The children's workers, they're having a great time. I can just feel it. Communion table, what a way to close the year. A real sense of dedication, wouldn't you say? The elements are in the back too. We have the gluten-free wafers back there. Take a cracker that represents, a matzah cracker that represents the life of Jesus. Dip it in the juice that represents the shed blood of Jesus and dedicate yourself to Jesus Christ. That 2018 will be the year that you'll remember, because you learned so much and you gave it away. Please stand. Well, I sure want to wish you a happy new year. 2018 is going to be a great year because God's going to be in it. He's going to be working in our lives in special ways. I have a little phrase for 2018. Pass it on. Pass it on. Take that with you. Think about that. On Saturday, we have Smart and Ready at 8 a.m. for men. At 9 a.m., you can join Tyler here to undecorate the church. That'd be great this Saturday. Then there's Lost and Found. We have lots of lost stuff, and maybe you want to find it. And then reading schedule. Start that reading schedule and get into God's Word. I have some thoughts each and every day about God's Word that I think would benefit you. If you're not reading God's Word every day, start today. Why not? God bless you. Oh, I'm going to pray. I do. I want to pray for this new year, Lord. You're the author of this new year. You're the source of this new year. You're the reason for this new year. And we put ourselves before you in reverent submission, desiring to obey you, to be used by you, and to pass on your wonderful truth and your love to others. Let it be an increased measure in a new way in each of our lives. Praying this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.